This is a HeadGum Original.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
You say this girl in your class is super fine, but she doesn't know your name. You cry in your bed when she left you on red and won't Snapchat you back. Why so sad? Remember, she's with your best friend and you're dating Roxanne. Now you're making me mad. Remember, despite your confusion, you can ask Jake and Amir. Those two dudes have a podcast called If I Were You. Jake and Amir, one's a monk, and Jake jams out to 90s punk. Golden mics rise, turdies fall. They have seen each other through it all. And when push comes to shove, they'll take a massive dump on your bad decisions to remind you of their love. Da 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 da.
Love it, dude. Oh yeah.
Nice. You kind of ruined it because he was like a really good singer, and then you sort of you kept like chiming in a little. You're
really?
Deaf, I think, or like tone deaf or something.
You wish you were.
I don't know what's happening. Yeah, but that was a Hamilton parody. We played some Hamilton parodies before, but that one was great.
Oh yeah, baby.
I guess,
man, what a catchy
song. Yeah, I guess they've all been great, but that one especially really, really tickled us. That one was by Jerry Hoosh, or Housh, H-O-U-S-H. Would you say Hoosh or Housh?
H-O-U-S-H?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'd say Housh.
Housh? Yeah. Yeah,
and I'd be right.
How is your Housh, by the way?
My house is really coming along.
Yeah, it's a really nice house. It's a good house. You just want to make sure you turn your house into a hosh.
How's your house doing? How's your house?
It's actually hoosh.
Okay.
Very well.
Who should I know?
Nice. If you want to shout out anything, Jerry did a If I Were You animation back in the day called If I Were You Podcast : Rodney, featuring the acclaimed guest and Golden Mic recipient Thomas Middleditch. So
damn.
Yeah, shot that out on YouTube. This guy,
it's awesome.
Not only made the song, he also animated something. Wow, a double threat. Yeah,
at least he's probably had he's got a couple threats we don't even know about, I bet.
Yeah, if you can sing and animate, you probably are at least a triple threat. He can probably,
I bet he can low-key dance.
Yeah, that's cool. How many threats do you think I have? If this guy has three,
you have zero threats. Maybe one. Like, you are a threat. You're a threat to society. You're a menace. You're a delinquent.
I was going to say turd. Writing.
No.
Podcasting.
I don't think so.
Watching.
Because you're watching
what? Watching shit.
You said you're good at podcasting, and this is a really boring segment of our podcast where you try to figure out
then
what
I
you're
still
good
have
at.
Writing. Take away the last two. Writing, walking, and
Did you mention watching?
Yeah.
Why don't you walk for a second? Take a little lap. Go to the window and back. Wow, you can't even do that. Can I mention you don't know how to walk?
Yeah, so that's two, watching and mentioning. But yeah, that's pretty cool. Everyone's talented, including our fans. Thanks to Jerry. Happy New Year to everybody listening. My God, 2021. Can you believe it?
Yeah, 2021, it's already different. 2021 is already hitting different.
Really? Yeah. I mean, for me, it's been roughly the same, just like Saturday and Sunday. It's been Friday, Saturday, Sunday has been 2021. And for me, it's felt exactly like...
To a T?
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Actually, I did something a little dangerous for New Year's, if you want to say.
yeah, sure. That's right.
I've been like quarantining with a few other friends. So it's like me and two other people. And we decided on New Year's Eve, let's say throw caution to the wind, take our masks off and go to this influencer party in the valley. It was 650 strangers doing like TikTok dances.
Is it in the valley? It's like outside? It's at least?
No, it was in this hype house. And they, they did this
hype house?
Yeah, this hype house in the valley where it's like a bunch of influencers and myself. You can see me in the background of some of these videos that are in the news. I'm doing like a keg stand. I'm like doing like this pin the tail on the donkey thing where they wrap me.
What a party. They played pin the tail on the donkey at
that
point?
Well, I was the fucking donkey. I was the donkey. So they wrapped me in masking tape. You can hear them chanting, let's wrap this fucker in masking tape.
Were you invited to the party?
They thought that I was a stripper.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I walk in there, my two friends.
So this was their plan for the stripper? That's very fucked up.
Yeah. My friends, I guess, couldn't make it because they heard that it was going to be like a dangerous affair. So they thought I was like crashing or that I was old and weird or whatever. They wrapped me up in masking tape, different like color masking tapes. Like, I guess, have you ever heard of a rainbow party?
Yeah.
So this is like a this is kind of like a variation on that, where they would stick me with like little needles, like pin the vaccine on the donkey, but it wasn't the vaccine.
Sorry,
I want to say
tied you up
clearly
and gave you shots.
I want to say that
but not like it alcoholic shots.
Not even good shots.
They pinned a tail on you. That's what they did.
They kept pricking me. They said prick the prick. Prick the prick, and they ended up.
How many things did they chant? They said,
"What have I said so far?"
You said, "Let's play pin. Let's tie this old fucker up." Or
yeah,
something.
yeah. And then, prick the prick for sure
prick
was
the
a
prick
chant.
Was another one.
Yeah, and then they would pin the tail on me. But yeah, they would. So I must have been. I was bleeding out, but I was like masked up. You know what I mean? Like masking tape kept it all in. So by the time
you didn't wear a mask, you're masked up. You mean that was the
I was breathless.
That was the tape that they used.
Yeah. So by the time
short of breath.
Yes, exactly. So by the
did
time
did you show up short of breath? Like flu-like symptoms? Were you a little ill before you went to this party?
Yeah, I had the light chest pains and a fever of 101. But by the time I got there, that all went away. It was all just like New Year's Eve style celebration / pin the tail on the me. So by the time
and some like muscle aches, that was it.
Yeah, I had like muscle aches and soreness and I was short of breath and sweaty a little bit and feverish and flush and fluey more than anything. So I pass out, right? I faint or whatever. That was the 31st. December.
That was better than the 31st. Yeah. If this party was on New Year's Eve, then what the hell?
It was New Year's Eve, and I woke up.
It was New Year's Eve.
I woke up 20 hours ago, Saturday at like 2:30 a.m.
You woke up on the 2nd, so you slept through New Year's Day
in an ER like kind of waiting area. I guess they brought me there to die.
But see, they brought you there. They brought you to the ER, and you spent 20 hours with nobody doing intake on you. The doctors just saw you, and they're like, "Not worth it. Not worth our time."
Because I'm a very low priority candidate. Because I didn't have I was a do not resuscitate situation. They wanted me gone.
Well, they usually make that decision after you go into the hospital,
right?
They
just sort
of saw that. And they said,
so I have an emergency medical bracelet thing that says, "Try to err on the side of this guy not pulling through." But for whatever reason, I was ready to meet my maker, but God had, men make plans and God laughs. So God ended up cracking the fuck up at the sight of me and shot me straight back down, and I like fucking Uma Thurman in Pulp Fiction. Yeah, I came to. I walk home. I'm like, has everybody been looking for me?
With
is everybody worried?
Between your legs.
Yes, a little syringe coming out of my ass to still. everybody was just sort of fine to see me.
You mean those two roommates you've been safely quarantining with?
They wanted me out.
Your two new roommates.
Yeah. I'm living a little bit on the lam and a little bit on the fence. As it were. But it is so good to see you. How was your New Year's?
It was fine.
That's cool. Did you anything crazy happen? did somebody beat the shit out of you? Or are you sort of...
No. We took her easy.
That's smart.
We took her easy.
That's smart. Yeah, I was going to say I should probably have taken her easy. I should probably have taken it greasy. That was good catch up.
Did you have a New Year's kiss, or were you dead?
No kiss. No kiss. Yeah. I not for lack of trying either. I was maced within an inch of my life, which I didn't know that could happen. I guess you could pass out from the pepper or some shit. But either/or/way. This is an advice podcast. After all, we are here to dispense our wisdom, and let's get wise. What do you think of that for a new catchphrase?
For a new slogan for the new year, 2021, we are here to dispense our wisdom and let's get wise. Is that what you said?
Let's get wise, yeah.
Essentially. Mm-hmm. It is not going to stick for me, dog.
That ain't it, fam.
I love that you're trying new slogans, but you didn't find one yet.
Okay. Well, this is If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the web, still hosted by us 8 years later. I'm Amir.
I am Jake. Wow, 8 years? Are we coming up on eclipsing the amount of time we've done a podcast for the amount of time that we did a web series?
Ooh, good question. Yeah, I think Jake and Amir lasted 9 or 10, and then there was an overlap, so this one will be... This will be 8 years in May, so we're not quite there yet, but yeah, we're on our way.
Wow, Jesus Christ.
Are you ready to start? What will the next decade chunk be, I'm wondering?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a TikTok. Thank God it's not going to be. I think that's not going to be us. I don't know.
What if we just became total career shift? We can be anything,
Dancers?
What's that?
Dancers?
No, because that's still in an... entertainment.
No, I don't think we could totally be dancers, because we'd have to both know how to do it, and only I am classically trained. I don't know if you are as good a dancer.
I'm as good as you for sure. You're not classically trained. You're not classically trained.
Both. I don't think you could be at my level, which is kind of ballet, trip hop style, trained at Juilliard.
You were
also
somebody ran train of you at Juilliard.
No,
that's what you did at Juilliard. Yeah,
Juilliard and the yard. That's where I fucking learned.
Actually, so we got a question about your burping situations. Let's see if we can answer this guy's question.
Oh, I'd be happy to, because I also have some. I've made some progress there.
Really,
pretty exciting.
Okay, okay. Why don't we call this guy? What's a man in your family name? So another Hurwitz.
Oh, another Hurwitz. Let's go the fucking guy himself, Sam.
Sam writes. Jake, my friend, I was listening to If I Were You, and you mentioned you cannot burp. Me too. I also avoid drinking beer because I get bloated, and then I have to have small, awkward, embarrassing, uncontrollable mini burps. Mm. Here's the question. My girlfriend thinks I should see a doctor about it, but I can't be arsed. Have you ever spoken to a medical profession about your condition? It doesn't really bother me too much. I can just get a bit uncomfortable and embarrassed in some social situations. For reference, I'm a 32-year-old male from Melbourne, Australia. No pressure. But I do have a wager on whether or not you have mentioned this to a doctor. So please tell me that you have not. Ooh, that's a lot of pressure. Oh.
So I've not.
You have not mentioned it to a doctor.
No. But okay. I did like troll through the no burp subreddit, which I think somebody sent to us. And basically it's like not a recognized condition. Doctors don't treat this because they don't think it's real. Or if they think it's real, then they don't think it's worth a damn, which I could understand that when people are dying of other illnesses.
Yeah.
Nobody's like, I'm going to dedicate my life to making it so you can belch. You know, that's not a high priority.
Yes. But so did you figure out a quote reason? Is it a genetic thing? Is it part of your body? Is it like, can you train yourself to learn how to burp or something?
So on this website, on the no burp subreddit, there's like two doctors who basically recognize this as, you know, an illness or an ailment, and they perform a surgery, which I really hope it's, I think, I don't have the page in front of me, but I think they do something to strengthen your sphincter.
So this doctor says if you just give him fart blanche access to your asshole, can make it so that you can burp. Or else you're talking about a sphincter muscle, which I believe is just a circular muscle and exists in other parts of your body. So there's like in your throat.
That's exactly what it is.
Okay, so there's a sphincter, which I believe there's one around your eye, too. It allows you to blink. There's one in your asshole. That's the famous one, because that puckers up and lets you shit. Yep, yep.
That's the one that made you giggle when I said it was sphincter surgery.
That's right.
I didn't know that. All right, that makes sense. All right, so now we know.
So there's also a muscle, a circular muscle in your throat that lets you burp, and that's also a, quote, sphincter muscle.
And I guess, like, that muscle I don't have any control over, either contracting or releasing or something. So when I drink a beer, I get uncomfortable. I get a little like lightheaded, even like foggy.
It's like the gas goes up to that muscle, and instead of you burping it out in a classic belch fashion, it just sort of gets stuck in that trapped gas.
What I was reading in Reddit is that, like, I think I'm one of the lucky ones that can make these kind of like mini noises, like, just every once in a while, it's just like me pushing the air out of that very tiny hole or something. It's not like a full release belch, but there's people that can't get anything out that are in much more discomfort than I am.
Interesting.
And I also sometimes will just like trigger my gag reflex and let the burp explode out of me.
Walk us through that situation. That's you, quote, pulling the trigger, but instead of puking, it's just a belch.
I don't know why it doesn't make me puke, because it seems like it would, but there's just like so much pressure in my throat that like whatever, doing that like makes my sphincter, as it were, open up and the belch comes out. But it, also in that subreddit, I was just looking at somebody who's like basically teaching themselves to burp. And what they were saying is they're just really relaxing their throat. And I think that for my entire life, burping to me was something you force out the same way you would, like, that's how I get a fart out of my arse.
You know? Yeah. Like, so you'd pull the trigger down there too.
Yeah. but I don't, when I'm burping, I'm like trying, you know, like it almost looks like I'm about to heave or something.
Yeah.
So then these last few weeks, I've just started like breathing in and then doing nothing, just like trying to fully relax my throat. And I've been getting some burps out to the point where Jill got mad at me.
Why?
So I think that's like
mad at you because you're trying to get a burp out.
Well, she's like, when I've burped before, there have been like a handful of times, if she hears one, she's like, good job, because she knows that I can't burp. So when I first started this and it was successful and I burped a couple times, she was like, good job, congrats, you're doing it. She was happy. But then I think I was doing it to such a degree of success that she was like, "You now, if you have this power, you have to have manners." But I still don't have control when I'm doing it. I just, it's been happening and it's like been surprising. That's all it is.
I see. So recently you've been able to sort of train yourself to release the gas in a slower fashion.
Yeah, like a more traditional burp. I still don't have like the, I still don't know what it is. I don't really understand what's happening. I don't have the, like, I guess like the command of what's happening. I can't feel what I'm doing right or wrong. It's almost like when you're singing and you're tone deaf, but like you can feel when you like get on a note, but it's by accident, you know?
Right. So you can burp, but it's not nothing on purpose or good like that.
I couldn't recreate it, but I'm slowly trying to. So I guess, I don't know that. I think that's my advice, but also there's apparently this doctor in Chicago and there's one in New York, but I don't know if he's as renowned.
I don't know if he's seeing new clients right now, what with COVID and all.
Yeah, and it's definitely an elective surgery. But I think I know what it feels like to not be able to burp. I also like am on the other side of like sometimes being able to work really hard to get a burp out. And I think that it's worth the effort. So if you can't burp at all and there's something that is out there that can help you burp, you should chase that fucking dream, baby.
Yeah. Maybe in Australia, things are a little bit different. Like there's two doctors in America that can do it. But in Australia, they're all fucking trained in this thing.
They'll slice and dice your sphincter. No problem. In and out. There you go. I've also stopped. I mean, I'm drinking more wine these days.
That's right. Still on the wine tip. Powering
through the beer. Yeah. Still on the wine tip. And now I have like one beer maybe once a week, maybe every 10 days.
Wow.
Before I would have like three or four a week.
And does it hit you different now that you don't have as many?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't like, I still love the way it tastes. But I also definitely like recognize my body does not feel bloated and gaseous when I don't have the beer.
That's good.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
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 It's good. It's good.
And yeah. And here, meanwhile, I can burp and I don't like beer. So maybe we should, I don't know, figure out a way to Freaky Friday those attributes or something.
Could you burp right now if you wanted to?
Yeah, I can just like suck in air and then burp it out instantly.
Wow, do it. Wow.
Yeah. That's awesome. And then I could do it with my ass too. Watch this.
No. Ah. You don't have to squat by the camera.
Ah.
Did you actually just fart?
It's like...
You're shitting. You're shitting.
Oh...
You've actually diarrhea. You gave yourself fucking diarrhea, man.
Let's, the thing is, I tried to like suck in air and then just shoot it back out. But for whatever reason, I'm sitting next to like a bowl of food and it all just went up and in and now it's drizzling out.
That is insane. And that shot is still in your ass, by the way.
No, I can't burp.
You have a syringe in there.
I don't know what happened, but I can't burp anymore. Actually, this is perfect timing. Let's take a break. I'll clean up my pantaloons and then we'll be back on the other side of these yes. messages. Yeah.
Tight.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. They have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag and drop technology. You can code, you can design mm-hmm. a professional looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace. Yes. That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like
interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness?
It's it's an anti-movement, really. Oh, it's a non-movement movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems like
it should
be.
I'll have to check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Antimovement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't. But so it's fitness more of a fitnessnah.com. Yeah, it's more of a fitness nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% off their already low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah. Thanks, BetterHelp.
Jake, I don't know if you know this, but we sort of all carry around different stressors, big and small.
Yeah. No, I've heard of that. Yeah. I've heard that. I've heard some people do that.
And if you're anything like me, you just sort of keep it bottled up inside and never complain or talk about it to anyone ever.
Buried deep, deep, deep down.
Yes. You put on a facade, as they call it.
Yes. And a masquerade.
But when we do that, it starts to affect us negatively. It's not healthy. It's not good. That's why I use therapy, which is a safe space to get things off your chest. And there's no better way to use therapy than with BetterHelp.
Ah, very nice.
So if you've been hearing a lot about therapy and you've been wanting to give it a try, but you don't want to, you know, go through the hassle of finding a therapist, driving their awkward waiting rooms, give BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suitable to your schedule.
Perfect.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Ooh. Love it.
It helps to get things off your chest. It helps to talk about it.
Right.
So get those things off your chest with BetterHelp. That's betterhelp.com/segments. You go there and you get 10% off your first month.
Ooh, all right. Segments, folks.
Yes. BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments.
Segments.
To get matched with your therapist as soon as possible. And if you use that coupon code by going to betterhelp.com/segments, you'll get 10% off your first month.
Nice.
Give it a try. It'll help.
Yeah.
With BetterHelp. And we're back. Jake, do you have any?
Oh, it's a lesson in the fight.
Gross. You know what? I'll re-up some of your old advice.
Whoa.
Which is to get in the tub, to bathe, to take a bath.
Interesting. So this is something I sort of discovered on the other side, like at the beginning of the quarantine. And I've been doing it less now that it was hot in LA, but now it's starting to get cool again. Starting to reintroduce baths. Now it's winter in New York, and that's primo bath weather because it's like, you get so cold, it like goes all the way into your bones. And the only way I think to completely thaw your body out is to take that bath. But you never used to take baths.
Mine is more, I never took baths. I think I might have even made fun of you when you started saying that you were taking a bath.
Yeah, you used to sort of ridicule me.
Face, yeah. I definitely said a lot about you behind your back at that time.
Yeah,
you used your bath at that time. Yeah.
You used to email like friends and family of mine, be like, LOL, did you guys know that Amir was doing this? And I don't know how you got the photos of me bathing or what the hell was happening. But
Did Avital tell you that it was like a pretty long campaign to try to get her to break up with you for
because
the bath,
of the bath situation. Yeah. But there's nothing wrong with like the, it was a weird campaign because there's nothing inherently wrong with baths or bathing at all. It's
totally.
Just, yeah.
And yeah, like now you're doing press. Yeah. It was like,
holy shit. Look at this guy. Him. Yeah. Why? Yeah. What are you doing? Look at him. He's literally in a bath right now. Pictures and shit of like me bathing, videos of me getting into the tub, doing shit like that. And then now you're finally bathing. So what happened?
Yeah,
what was the way?
I totally get it.
Yeah.
I think I just did it because I was like recovering from, bike rides and stuff. Like,
oh, I see. As like a muscle. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's
I was
like
taking like Epsom salt baths. Well, that was how it started to be like, a recovery bath as it were.
That's good.
And then I just really grew to really, I loved my time in the bath and I loved the way it made my body feel afterwards. So I'm still taking the baths with the salts and it's very good.
Now, do you treat it as like an end of the day situation?
I treat it as...
Or are you taking daytime baths?
No, it's definitely, it's like one of the last things I would do. Yeah.
Really?
Not a daytime bath.
Wow.
And, sorry. I mean like last thing I do for the day.
Yeah.
Like maybe 5 p.m. get in the bath. And then after you're done, I don't think I could do like a bath and then back to work.
Oh God, no. No, you couldn't do that.
Do you take the shower after the bath or do you go straight from the bath to robe?
That's actually a good question. I do take a shower after the bath.
You got to rinse off.
So I do the bath into the shower. And actually, this is an update for me. 3 days ago, I slipped from the bath getting into the shower. Jesus. I ate shit, fell down hard, tile to tile, soapy ass feet. Like a banana peel man in a cartoon. Just like straight like fucking
legs up in the air.
Yes, like put my entire body weight on one heel and it gave out and I tried to break my fall and I like landed on my elbow and like for a few seconds I'm like, oh God, I hope I did not break my arm. I can't go to a hospital, not like this.
You gotta get back in the tub and soak that off.
I spent 4 more hours in an ice bath. Yeah, I fell on my ass, actually on my elbow, and it was like, it felt kind of like bruised for a few days, and then went away. Yeah, but it was a dangerous situation. So yeah, I guess.
Yeah, you gotta be careful.
My sub advice is that when you're transferring from the bath to the shower, yeah, take the...
They're slippery.
Take your time.
They're slippery little things.
Yeah, and it's not, you're not meant to be walking around.
But you have a separate tub shower.
Yes, I do.
That's a tricky thing. I've got the shower in the tub, so I soak. How hot do you keep your shit? I'd really like to know how hot do you keep your shit.
Is it tepid?
You know, that's what I want to know.
I want you to take a few.
Is it the baby pool?
Yeah.
Or is it the big boy pool?
Let me.
Hot or cold? Simple question, Blumenfeld. Hot. Or cold.
Your tone
or is it in between.
Yes, I know, and I know. I know the answer to this. And if you shut up, I can answer. But the tone that you have is so nasty. You have a really nasty tone right now. It's accusatory.
Nasty tone. I'm curious.
It's a real.
How warm the bath is. I'm not being nasty with the tone.
It's tacky. It really is tacky. I feel like
you're evading the question.
I'm not evading.
And I think that's tacky.
I want you to take. I'll take a deep breath and I'll answer you because like it's not
I'll
like
take a deep breath yeah. when you answer me and you're done being tacky.
I keep it one notch below. Too hot. So it's not like Avital likes the bath quite hot. Like, ooh, this is really, really hot. Like the hottest you can possibly stand. I like it one notch below that.
Cool. So like how long are you taking a bath?
I'm taking some baths long enough that I have to re-up the hot water. It'll fade into Luke. And then it's like, you know what? I'm not done yet. It's been 28 minutes. I'm ready to go for another half an hour. Re-up the hot water. Nice. And that feels
good
really
too.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. How long are you spending in there? Are you getting wrinkly? Are you getting pruny? Are you using the salts?
I'm using the salts, but I think for me, the bath needs to be pretty hot for me to feel the benefit of the soak, the salts. And I think if I just sat for 45 minutes in a tepid bath, it wouldn't do me as good as 20 minutes. But the issue is that when the bath is really hot, it's a lot harder to relax. Like your mind races a little bit. You're cooking yourself alive.
Yeah, you don't want to boil.
Your fight or flight is kicking in.
Boil your meat. Yeah, you don't want to be a little fucking, what's it called? The fondue. You don't want to fondue yourself. Right?
You don't want to fondue yourself.
So you also like it one notch below 10 out of 10 hot.
To be honest, I am new in my bath journey. So I'm still experimenting with different temperatures. I think that I find that it's more pleasurable to have a cooler bath and be able to sit for longer. But the benefits of a hot bath are really good too. So I think I go based on like what I need. Like, am I sore or am I stressed? Do I want to unwind or do I want to heal?
Interesting. Okay. All right. Yeah, that makes sense. And then I will say you sweat a lot in a bath. So it's important to have water nearby as well. Another side tip to the bath.
So, yeah. Don't just bathe safely. And fucking bath smart, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. You got a bath smart.
You're actually not. You fucking.
I did eat shit. Yeah, I almost broke my arm taking a bath. But other than that, I'm bathing very smart.
I imagine the have water by your side comes from a time when you fainted in the tub as well.
Yes. Yeah, I will faint. I will pass out. I will wake up. I will come to. My face skin is pruny as the tips of your fingers, white, pale, wrinkly as the day. But, you know, that stuff ends up, you know, steaming out in the shower anyway, so it's no big deal.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. All right, cool. We're back. We're back to baths.
Back to baths.
All right, here's a D&D question. I know you recorded NADPOD today, so this is on your mind still.
That is right. Shout out to our guest, Lou Wilson. Check it out. It's going to be a good, good couple weeks.
Do you guys record those as imminently as this? Like, we're recording Sunday night. It's going to be online later tonight into Monday morning. Is the turnaround time like that on NADPOD?
Kind of. Murph does a lot more. Not that you do a bad job editing. You're a great editor. There's just less to
edit.
Yeah. So it takes Murph like a couple days. But we recorded tonight. The episode's going to be out on Thursday.
Wow, that is fast.
It's a quick turnaround.
All right, here's the question. You want to give this guy a D&D style name?
Yeah, I'll give him the name of my new character, Corbo Babineau.
No, I'll just do a new name. What was that? Let's do like okay. A fun name.
Sorry, we'll
like
do one of the names of my old character, Nyack of the Renifor.
No, just like a silly quick name, like Reyna or something like that. I don't know.
Why don't you name him?
Reyna.
Or you give it, go the name that you did on our podcast when you were a guest. You go.
You know the story there. I don't know if I'm spilling too much beans, but I wanted to name him Jugo, and then Murph is like, you know, that might be a little offensive because he's like a nebbishy Jewish stereotype of a man. So maybe we should shift it a little further. I'm like, nah, people won't get mad. I'm Jewish. It's fine. Anyway, we ended up going for Jugo.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I understand.
That. Murph was right at the end.
Yeah, he was correct. I'm a Jugo. Bigger man. I'm willing to Jugo. It doesn't roll off the tongue as much, really.
If somebody that didn't know us heard that character's name, which does make up a large portion of NADPOD, is people that don't listen to this show, they would be like, you had a guy on and you named him Jugo?
Yeah, he's sort of a miserly little elf man who takes advantage of his friends for coins, yes. Golden doubloons.
And Jugo did bring the chaos.
We should have Jugo back. Sorry, you go back, but like unannounced. So like you guys are just like in a forest somewhere and suddenly you run into me, Jugo. And I'm just really cooking chaos. Yeah. Ending up trying to kill you guys. All right. So, what was the first one? Corbo Babineau?
Corbo.
Corbo writes. That's right. I play D&D with some old friends, including a good friend of mine who we'll call Sam, the DM himself, and the DM's girlfriend, who we'll call Emily, not real names. As we're all old friends outside of D&D, we also hang out and drink together. One night, I was drinking with Sam, Emily, and another friend. Things got blurry and horny, and Sam and Emily fucked. I have to admit that I was absolutely steamed too, and probably would have been complicit if the two hadn't left. So, DM got cucked by one of his own players. My question is, how do I make this D&D group survive? I put a lot of effort and emotion into my character, and this game is a source of light in my otherwise dismal life, and I'd hate to lose it. How can this be reconciled to save the game, nay, my soul, from falling into oblivion? Should I convince Sam to blow the DM to make it even? What the hell? What? Should I fuck Sam's mom to create some sort of balance in the yin-yang of it all? Help, I'm spiraling, no. For my Minotaur Battlemaster didn't deserve this. Yours faithfully, Corbo.
Well?
Well, I don't fully understand the specific drama, but I guess the question is, can a D&D group survive such real-world turmoil?
No chance. No way. No. And there's actually nothing you can do. So
what happened when you and Connor, or not Connor, you and Caldwell hooked up? Did that sort of sour the group for a few weeks?
Yeah, it made things awkward at the table. But at least we weren't playing with anyone Caldwell was married to.
Yeah, that's like,
that's the issue here. The dynamic is done. You're screwed. It's off. It's over. And that's the quicker you accept that, the easier it's going to be to create a new character for your next campaign. Maybe use this time as a chance to DM. You can be a DM that doesn't get cucked.
Interesting. Yeah. How does it work with like starting new campaigns? You don't have to like make it tied to the old one in a way. You could just be like, all right, I'm going to go over there and play with some other friends, a completely different universe.
Yeah, it's fun. I think rolling new characters is fun. I do recognize that it's hard to like put your whole soul into a character and like, you know, they're leveling up with experience and collecting magic items and getting cooler and cooler weapons and better bonds with the players. But then you kind of have to zoom out and think about that this is like two people's marriage and your thing is still a made up minotaur. So, yeah. You know, perspective's good. And it's fun. And I don't know. I remember when my character, I won't say anything that spoils anything, but
spoiler,
something happened. Okay. That I had to play a couple sessions as a new character.
Ooh.
And I was scared because I had like known I knew my character so well, but then I made somebody new and I actually had a really good time playing as a different PC. So think about that. You will also, of course, have to find new friends. So, I mean, that's a bigger issue as well.
Yeah, friends, schmends, but it's really about the group. Can you envision a world where you're playing like one game for the podcast and one game separately, or it's like the game is so all-consuming that it's too hard to juggle two different jobs?
I think I would play another. I would definitely play another game if like the right friend group was interested. You know, I wouldn't just like tap into any game. It's not like, oh, I want to play D&D with whoever will play D&D.
Yeah.
Like, it is about the group, so.
You could juggle too, you're saying.
Yeah, I think you could juggle too. So yeah, you could start a new group as you wait for this ball to drop, or the shoe to drop. I don't know what the metaphor is.
What about an oops, all Yugo campaign? So instead of like, oh, this person's a minotaur and this one's like a slimy guy and this one's a wizard, it's a world where everyone is Yugo. Yeah, exactly. So it's like, Yugo, I'm Yugo, was, you're a go. Yeah.
I believe Yugo was Yugo a gnome or a halfling?
A halfling, I think. Or maybe he was a gnome. He was definitely 3 feet tall and slimy.
Yeah. Yugo was a balding, middle-aged halfling rogue.
Yeah. Who had
gold teeth and high heels.
Yeah.
and created discord.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. He sowed discord, exactly right.
Actually, if you really think about it, your friend was a Yugo, a real life Yugo of the group.
Oh, interesting. So I came in there as a guy who was trying to ruin shit IRL.
Yeah.
And then
I think you really only need to worry about kicking out the guy she cheated with from the campaign. Like, if they can get through their marital problems, if they can get over that and then get back to the table, it's you, them, and you get one more person in there, then you don't even have to roll a new character, you know?
That's cool. All right. So there is a way to turn this into, save this group, you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that what I'm really saying is that your minotaur is not the priority. And I don't think that it's worth meddling anything. So like really you should just keep on playing. Maybe the affair doesn't ever come to life. And that's better than you, I guess, hooking up with Sam's mom was one of the ideas.
Is there a way to like use D&D to try to like save the relationship, being like, if I roll a tolerance roll or something like that, like a forgiveness. Yeah. So it's like he rolls a forgiveness.
I guess that would be persuasion. Yeah. A persuasion check with extreme disadvantage.
Okay. So it's like,
you have to roll 100 times and take the lowest.
Yeah. And that's like, if I still get 15 or above, then you have to forgive me, babe.
That's a 4.
Shit, can we call that a practice roll? We only made
it's on
out.
The floor. It didn't count.
Is that a thing if the dice falls on the floor? You have to re-roll?
I think the dice has fallen on the floor before. I think you have to decide. You just have to decide before you see it. If you say, if it falls on the floor, you don't have to be like, that doesn't count. But you can if you wanted. But like, you can be like, I'm going to use whatever it is. And then you can crawl and look. At least that's how I play.
But you have to crawl. That's the specific part. You have to crawl and look.
What you can't do is like, roll the dice, look it on the floor. It's a three. And then you say, I have to re-roll. It fell on the floor. Because you know that you wouldn't want to re-roll if it was a 20.
That's cool. Yeah. No, I get that. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually really cool.
Thank you.
Let's see it. Let's see you roll fucking right now.
I have my dice right here.
You have a lot. You have a lot of dice right next to you. I was sort of doing like kind of a bit, but yeah. Okay. Now that. All right. Yeah.
That's an eight, motherfucker.
That's good.
That's pretty much the highest you can get on an eight-sided die.
Yeah, how many sides does that die?
This one has 20, but you also use a D8 sometimes.
Yeah, but you didn't, so don't... You also could have rolled a six-sided die.
That would have been extremely high if I got it. Can you imagine if I got a fucking eight on a six-sided die? I'd be a god.
No, it so wouldn't give happen.
It up. Really, actually, give it up. Give it up for that. That's fucking awesome.
I don't have to, and I won't. You don't deserve it. Neither does this person. This person doesn't deserve forgiveness. But hopefully you guys can make it work. For the sake of the group, you got to do it for the sake of the group. All right. That's it. That's our time. First episode of the new decade. We're in. We're out. Wow. The opening theme song was Jerry Hausch, or Hoosh, the Hamilton theme song. This closing one... Let me look at who wrote this closing one while you talk about our Patreon.
Yeah, you can check us out, checking ourselves out over at patreon.com/JA. We are making our way through the entire Jake and Amir catalog, every single canon and uncanon episode. We're watching them, we're reacting to them. And then sometimes we're just shooting the shit, answering your questions, your queries. But we're hanging out over there, so check it out.
All right, that was perfect. You killed enough time for me to find Eric Novak wrote this song. He'd be surprised if we played it because it's not a Blink-182 cover. But you know,
let's do a quick cursory search. Just do Blink-182.
No, we don't only have to do Blink-182. This is a perfectly fine
search. Enema of the State.
I don't think so. This is a nice Dude song. Ranch, then. We're doing
we can
this
look
song.
Up Cheshire Cat.
We're not looking it up. We already had a cover. It was a Hamilton cover. This is an outro. It's an original, I think. Original theme song written, recorded, and sent by Eric Novak. So thank you to Eric. Thank you to Jerry. Thank you to you guys for listening.
And thank you.
We'll be back soon enough, I bet. Maybe next week.
Probably.
Ciao, everybody.
Later.
This intro, that's gonna be a turdy for you, bud.
That was a HeadGum original.